When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Good morning on a Friday. It's 97.1. Jim Costa with Stoney in for John Jansen. We've got Heather, we've got Gov and Greg behind the glass, and we made it to Friday.
Yes, we did. That's right. And ladies and gentlemen.
Heather gets excited on Fridays.
I know.
Well, and it's a holiday Friday.
Right.
You're so it's even better. Yeah. Yeah. So are you.
I am too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To the finish line we go.
It's here. Thank goodness. I'm ready.
The year is over, nearly, and the picks are over.
Are they?
Pretty much.
Are they? Hmm.
Stoney, did you see the record?
I listen occasionally to this program, and I know that Heather was doing 67-46?
It's like one of the great pick seasons of all time.
It is.
It's over. She's got 13-game lead on me.
After a while, Colin should have just taken her. You could have taken your money, figured it out, and actually put your money where your mouth was, and you'd won a hell of a lot of money.
I know. I'm not much of a gambler.
But when... I don't know. This is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. So we're all playing for second place. We'll get to that at 6:35 on a Friday. We have Penei Sewell audio we will play for you guys. But first, Stoney, you want to talk Pistons for a minute or two?
There was a lot of weird stuff last night, but yeah, we'll start with the Pistons. I was watching the game, you know, when it started. So, you know, we're playing a team that really stinks, and it's their last home game before they go on a big West Coast trip. And it was unbelievable to see a team just make, like, every three-point shot they took. Some of them were contested. I'm not going to always blame the Pistons, but a lot of them weren't. But if you just weren't paying attention or watching and you happened to get an alert after the first quarter and you saw 48-19 after the first quarter, that's 29 points. They gave up 48 points in the first quarter. It's incredible. Look, there's obviously been games like that in NBA history. That was unbelievable. But I'll give them credit. They battled back. They cut it to six, like, late in the second quarter, and then they went on a run. Utah to make it 13. The Pistons made it a game. I mean, they ended up only losing by, like, 7 points. But that first quarter was unbelievable. And that's, you know, we talk about Lalonde, where the Red Wings don't get out to good starts. That's on the coaching staff. If you can't get your team ready to play in a game like that where you figure you're going to win, you're coming off a pretty good win against Miami, and then Utah comes in, and they have some good players on their team, and Markkanen's good. Sexton was great. Man, that was unbelievable. And then there was the fight, or lack there, or whatever you want to call it.
Squaring up.
The confrontation. I mean, it was not too many times you actually see guys put up their dukes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's what happened. It was Paul Reed and, you know, Clarkson collided on a play, and they got a little feisty, and all of a sudden, the rookie, Ron Holland, came in. Well, if anybody would know, something's going to happen to me more.
Yep.
But, I mean, and it was Holland who got thrown out with Clarkson for double. I didn't know if you just put up your dukes, it's automatic double technical. And I know Bickerstaff was pissed about, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, when Mark said Clarkston made a fist, they both made fists. I didn't realize either that was grounds to get thrown out of the game. You see a lot of like hold me back guys in the NBA that don't actually want the smoke.
Right.
Those two may have wanted the smoke.
I know. And I was, you know, reading stuff after or this morning, and like Cade said, you know, this is who Ron Holland is. He's a, I mean, to me, that was cool as hell. He's what, 18, 19 years old, and he's willing to go in there and I mean, stick up for his teammates. You know, you don't want to see it every game, but it's good for the locker room, I think, at least. It's very disappointing the way that they started and they go to Phoenix. It wasn't the only weird NBA score last night. Did you see the Golden State-Memphis game?
I didn't see any of that.
Final score, the Golden State Warriors 93, the Memphis Grizzlies 144.
Whew.
51 points. Steph Curry 0 for 7.
How many 0 for games does he have from three?
I don't know.
Yeah, it can't be many.
0 for 7. Period. I mean, not even just three. I think he was like 0 for 5 or whatever for three, but whatever. I mean, so a lot of weird stuff in the and one in the NFL.
The free kick.
Yes.
I didn't know this was a rule, Stoney.
Jim Harbaugh's a genius. The end of the first half, they Denver punts, and the Chargers call for a fair catch with no time left, plus there's a fair catch interference penalty that brings the ball to the 47-yard line. And with no time left, you are allowed, there's a rule called a free kick, where the kicker, it was Dicker the kicker, gets basically just go up there and kick a field goal.
Why does the rule exist?
I have no idea why.
Because it doesn't, like, we haven't seen it since 76, right? That the free catch, free kick has happened.
Yes.
And most fair catches don't happen in field goal range.
Correct.
Only with the penalty and the way kickers are now, where they can make it from 50 plus. That was 57 yarder.
Yes.
Do you see, this just kind of opened up for the very rare free kick.
Yeah. And I remember when I was a kid, I saw one. I don't want to say how long ago it was, but obviously since I was a kid, the Bears and the Packers, a guy named Mac Percival hit one in like the late 60s, early 70s. That's the one. I don't remember the worshing one at all. And I read that there was one that was tried about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, but it was cool as hell to see it. And it got them 3 points closer. And then the Chargers just kicked Denver's ass in the second half. And Harbaugh's done a great job with that team.
Yeah, year one, playoff team.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Penei Sewell, he spoke yesterday. We've got some audio to play. Want to get fans' reactions to this. Penei Sewell, this audio comes from Corey Woods, M Live. Penei Sewell talking about some of the concerns in the fan base.
Come on, Penei. First of all, don't listen. It's fans. It's idiots like us. It doesn't make one iota of a difference in what's going to happen, how we feel. But now the players, in this case, Penei Sewell, trying to judge the old bandwagon card. Hop on, hop off. You should be allowed to question whether your team is going to win a Super Bowl. That's what it is. Nobody's made any derogatory statements. Have you heard anybody, even the ones who, season's done. Is there anything really they're just, you know, this and that. No, it's just the injury stuff that we'll get to later, got some good news on, but possible good news. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, now if they use it for a rallying cry or whatever, fine. If that's what they need. I'm sorry. With this Lions team, they don't need anything more than their coach and their intestinal fortitude to go and win football games. Whether I think they can win the Super Bowl, whether you think they can win the Super Bowl or anybody else does, it doesn't mean squat.
Yeah, dropping the real ones and bandwagons.
Yes.
Okay, let's just state the obvious. Mm-hmm. Penei Sewell has to and should think this way.
Yes.
You're in the foxhole.
Absolutely.
One track mind. Confidence, attitude. We will, not we can, we will. That should be the attitude from everybody inside that locker room. You know, it starts with Dan Campbell. Jared Goff has picked it up. Obviously, Penei Sewell carrying the baton with the quote there. That is absolutely how the players should feel.
Right.
The fans don't play the games. And Stoney, I'm noticing a little bit of a trend. I think there are fans who are convinced they are on the team. That if they acknowledge any sort of issues, that they think it will drag the team down. So for Jerry and Romulus or Todd and Novi, you're not suiting up this week.
No.
You're allowed to acknowledge it out loud. You can be honest.
And if you're not going to Chicago, they can't hear you through your television.
Right. I think some people do think they're on the team. I mean, fans short for fanatical.
I'm not
trying to be mean. I think there are people who think they are on the team. You're allowed to express some concern. Like, to me, we did this a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
A fan is not someone who always believes the team is going to win.
No.
A fan is someone who cares. And they be nervous, excited, sad. I mean, think about it. Fans have wanted coaches fired.
Right.
Does that make them bad fans? Because they didn't believe Patricia was going to work out.
No.
Or they didn't believe Marinelli was going to work out. Like, a fan cares. And that passion sometimes shows up as, hey, they're winning. And it sometimes shows up as gulp.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a concern. Yeah.
I don't get it. And I Sewell, it's fine that he feels that way.
Yep.
No problem. But why would he care about the fans, that aspect of the thing? You care about your fans.
Yep.
You want fan support. And nobody, like I said, is sitting there saying, well, I don't think they can go to the Super Bowl, so I'm not going to watch the game. I'm not going to go to the game. I'm not going to root for them. No, nobody's saying that. You just think this unbelievable dream that you're having, this dream season, finally all your years of Lion fandom on the team blew, and all of a sudden you had these hopes, and all of a sudden you see all the injuries, and you kind of think that maybe what you really want's not going to happen. That's the deal.
That's where it comes from.
Aaron
Glenn also was asked about some of this doom and gloom.
Of course, that's the right thing to say. He's not sitting there saying, you know, that's for you. He said that's for you guys to worry about. He's not sitting there, oh, you're a bad fan.
That's a better answer.
Yeah, much better answer.
And I actually don't know how much sky is falling there is out there.
Well, it depends on what you define as sky is falling. But yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a little bit of it, but not a lot.
Like, but the one thing I haven't heard enough of is even before the injuries against Buffalo, they couldn't stop Buffalo. Like, that's the storyline I don't think I've heard enough of this week.
Right.
The injuries make it worse. But even if they were healthy, Buffalo went into Ford Field and waxed them.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time they marched up and down the field. So even if McNeil was healthy and Carlton Davis was healthy, I still would have left that Buffalo game going, maybe they don't match up against elite quarterbacks. And then you throw the injuries in. So by speaking about that, is that sky falling or is that acknowledging what's happening?
That's acknowledging what's happening.
Okay.
I think,
if you've given up on the season entirely and said, hey, don't play the games, that sky's falling. But I think that's such a small group of people. I really do.
I agree.
Are you a bad fan? 248-539-9797. Penei Sewell weighs in. It's 97.1.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It's Panay Sewell. Audio from Corey Woods, M Live. He asked the question. The real ones know, Stoney.
Yeah.
And if you question it, just hop off. You're not welcome on the bandwagon.
You know, I'm not going to hold it against Panay Sewell, but I just think it's ridiculous. To even care that much about this.
Well, he said he doesn't.
Right? Yeah.
He shouldn't care about what fans are saying. Yeah.
He should. You're right. They shouldn't.
He should have one track mind.
And I think
he should view this as they're absolutely one step at a time from winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
He should.
And I think he does, actually.
He believes it. I think they firmly believe that.
When asked about it, you know, just don't try to figure out who's good as far as fans and who's not. It does you no good to waste 1 second of your brain thinking about that.
People who are critical aren't bad fans.
No!
Oftentimes, people are critical because they love the team and they're unhappy with something the team's done. Or in this case, it's not anything the team's done, but they're just concerned about the mounting injuries that they have.
Well, you know, it's strange, and not just for this. There are a lot of, as you find when you go in locker rooms and you talk to players, and over the years, you get to know them a little bit. What the average fan, I don't think, realizes, I think they do more now, that the average professional player, they don't care about the sport as much as we do as fans. I mean, they want to win every game and they want to do that, but there's a lot of them that this is our job. They come into work just like we come into work, just like, you know, people working in the factory. This is their job. And when they go home, they don't care what's on Thursday night football or how it's going to affect, you know, them in the standings sometimes. You know, they hear about it.
Yeah.
They're not glued to the TV. Now, some are, obviously. Some play fantasy football and things like that. But others, it's a job. And we can't figure, and it's very difficult for the fanatic in us to realize that.
But I think there are people who think if they acknowledge it, that they're going to, like, hurt the team. Like they're going to like psychological jinxes or stuff. Like none of that's real.
Oh, I know.
Ticket Texter says the fan card stuff is getting hilarious. I remember being called a bad fan when I began questioning Bob Quinn's draft picks. This isn't the same, but don't revoke fan cards for logical opinions, Jared and Jackson.
Way to go, Jared. I like that opinion.
This one says, Costa, you sound like an ass. You're in the double digit disco and now you're saying the defense wasn't good enough. You're a loser fan.
He was wrong. You were wrong on the pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be wrong on picks coming up in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's. I think you got to be honest. I thought the defense would have been good enough. They were the healthiest they had been going into the game in 2 months. The D-line was healthy, relatively, right? They got Onzerike back and Pascal back and Reeder was back and McNeil started the game. And you know what that D-line did?
They got shredded.
Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. They couldn't get to Josh Allen. He bought time and extended plays. And guess who the D-line's going to be in the Super Bowl? Those guys minus Salim McNeil.
Right.
And I think Hutch could give him an emotional boost, but let's be honest about production.
Yeah.
So even when healthy, they couldn't get to Josh Allen, and now they're hurt. So you could tell me you're getting Anzalone back in the ledger, but the defense that couldn't stop Josh Allen gets Anzalone back, but loses McNeil and loses Carlton Davis, and you're a loser fan if you bring that up, apparently.
Of course.
248-539-9797. Texter says it was a gotcha question. It's not Sewell's fault. He didn't complain about fans.
That's true. There's somewhat truth to that.
I don't think it was a gotcha question.
It was just the hop on. If he wouldn't have said that, I don't think I would have been irked a little bit at all.
But I understand a level of like arrogance from the player who's like, well, if you don't believe in us, because that's how they legitimately think.
Correct.
Like, I actually don't hold any of this against Penei Sewell. I hold it against fans who are echoing Penei Sewell's thoughts. You're not on the team like Penei Sewell is.
Yes.
It's okay if he thinks that. He can go, you guys are a bunch of loudmouths. I got social media. I don't look at any of this. If you don't believe in us, forget all that nonsense. He should think that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a fan who thinks that this team is going to be weighed down by you being negative, they don't care about that,
no.
To Penei Sewell's point.
Yeah, that's why, you know, people, I used to say, when the team stunk, you know, before Sheila took over, it's the fans' fault. They buy all the tickets. They still go. It's their fault. No, it's not their fault.
If you guys would stop booing, they'd play better. Have you heard the fans?
Yeah, oh, yes. Especially where I grew up.
248-539-9797. All right, we're going to get to the picks coming up. 650, a Lions deal or no deal question. Want to put your confidence to the test, Stoney. A Lions deal or no deal at 650. Let's get to Heather in the news.
Okay, so there is an Adrian College hockey player who is suing a player from Michigan State for injuries she suffered in a game last year, obviously between schools. So in this lawsuit, the Adrian College player alleges that an illegal body check made by the MSU player resulted in this really serious injury, including fractures to two vertebrae. And following the incident, this player is saying she has suffered persistent headaches, memory loss, nausea, vertigo, bladder and bowel control issues, impaired cognitive ability, and decreased quality of life. And she is suing. She is seeking monetary damages for the injuries and their impacts.
I don't think in professional sports or men's sports either, you shouldn't sue for anything like that. No, it's part of the game, unfortunately.
It does say body checking of any kind is illegal in ACHA as well as NCAA women's hockey. Does that make a difference when it comes to...
Well, I just think it's a she should be suspended from playing again, maybe. Through their league.
Maybe this is oversimplification. Slashing is also illegal in hockey. It's a penalty.
It's illegal in life, too.
My point, though, is it's not allowed in the game of hockey, but if you slash someone, you don't get to sue them off the ice. They get penalized and you go to the trainer.
Yeah. I mean, it's another frivolous lawsuit.
Two people are facing federal drug charges after authorities opened a truck Monday going through the Blue Water Bridge, and they found the truck was carrying more than 1,000 pounds of cocaine. So the truck and the driver claimed that they were carrying 25 pallets of aluminum cans. No, they only had a couple of those. Instead, they actually had several boxes, suitcases, and luggage bags full of bricks of white powder, which, of course...
Oh.
Turned out to be cocaine. So they had 397 bricks in total. The driver and the passenger were both arrested, taken to the St. Clair County Jail. David Montgomery is delaying surgery for his knee injury and instead is going to stick with rehab in hopes of returning for a playoff push. He is now very optimistic, right? He consulted with another medical expert over the last few days. Says, you know what? I think I've avoided this season-ending MCL surgery that was obviously initially feared, and he's got big hopes of getting back out there.
So think about it. He won't play, obviously, this week.
Mm-hmm.
If he's back for the playoffs, if they have the one seed, that's 4 weeks off.
Hopefully
that's enough.
Yeah. The other thing is, though, if the rehab doesn't go well and then he has to get surgery, you hope it doesn't linger into next year.
Of course.
Yeah, and then also, don't push yourself and hurt yourself even more.
Correct.
That's always my fear, is that you're not actually fully recovered. You go out there and play, and then you're injured even worse than you were in the first place. So make sure you're feeling real good. A man is reportedly fighting for his life after being shot in the head, you guys, during a road rage incident.
Another one?
Yes, Thursday afternoon. The shooting happened on Joy Road near Schaefer. This was around 3 p.m. The victim was rushed to the hospital in critical condition. The suspect did turn himself into police. The circumstances are actually still being investigated. There is a spokesperson that said, you know what? I can't confirm that this was actually a road rage shooting, or maybe there was different motives. Who knows? Did these two know each other? Was there something else going on? But just another awful situation. Now, I got to tell you to be careful out there on the roads. Not today. Well, yeah, be careful today, right? But it's not where I'm going. The most dangerous day to drive this month is just 3 days away. There's a new report that says the most dangerous day on the roads is December 23rd, which is this coming Monday. And it's all because people are out and about getting those last minute gifts. They're distracted. They're busy. They're hustling and bustling, and they're not paying attention to the road. So there's a warning to put down your phones, stop multitasking behind the wheel, and pay attention.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah. Get your gifts done early and get off the roads. The number one New Year's resolution for 2025 is a diet for your wallet. So it's not going to the gym and losing weight or getting healthy like it normally is. This year or next year, people say they plan to save money. That's their goal. They want to save and spend less, which makes a lot of sense.
Yes, absolutely.
And after that, then improving your physical health is number two. You'll get those gym memberships and you'll go for about 2 months and then...
And then be done. Well, you could just not pay for a gym membership in the first place, and that would accomplish goal number one, but...
No, go to Planet Fitness, baby!
Go work out!
You should do both. You should get in good shape, and you should also try to save when you can.
Yeah.
That's Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, Heather kicks our ass in the picks, 97.1. And what a week it was. Heather, 5-2 last week, building on her 13-game lead now. John went 1-6. I went 1-6. Tom, not much better, 2-5. Greg, 3-4. Pretty brutal all around. Let's get into it.
All right. College football playoff starts tonight. Notre Dame, a 7.5-point favorite as they host Indiana. Jim, let's start with you.
Yeah, let's start with me. I love the quote from Kirk Cignetti. He said, I hope it snows 1.5 feet. We have a Canadian quarterback. Here's the problem. I don't think they're going to get it done. They struggled against Ohio State and Michigan. That's my concern. Give me touchdown, Jesus.
Yeah, the two defenses that they've played, just they haven't been able to materialize that many points. And I really like Notre Dame. And I shouldn't have said that. I take that back. I like Notre Dame in this spot here at home with a good defense. I think they will cover.
Stoney.
Believe it or not, I think Notre Dame's going to win and win easily because I think they're better on both sides of the ball. Cignetti, though, he does have experience in these tournaments doing it with James Madison, so it's not completely foreign to him. And, you know, you look at Indiana, the struggle with Michigan, the only good teams they've played really is Michigan, and they're not even that good, obviously, and Ohio State, and they got hosed.
Let's go to Heather Park, who forgot about the picks until 5:59 this morning.
I did. So I'm going to go like creepy mascot route, I think, this time. And between the two, Indiana doesn't even have one, I don't think. And the leprechaun's pretty creepy, so I'm going with Notre Dame.
This is the person winning, guys.
Well, at least we took the same thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Let's go to John Jansen.
Oh, boy.
All right, another one for Notre Dame. Finally, someone has to travel north all the way from Bloomington, Indiana. Notre Dame. Game number two. Penn State hosting Southern Methodist University. More religion in our college football. Penn State's favored by 8.5. Gov.
You know, SMU really struggles to stop anything. And Penn State, I know James Franklin, big games, but... That'll wait till the next round. I'm going to cautiously take the Nittany Lions.
I'm going to take the Nittany Lions as well because they got, like 500 yards or something against Oregon. They'll get 800 yards against SMU, and Eric Dickerson and Craig James are not walking through that door.
Yeah, I also have to take Penn State because the Lion is got to be one of their creepiest mascots I've ever seen, right? It is. So Penn State.
It's like a bad Halloween costume.
It really is.
Let's go to John.
He's going with the Mustang, which is a cool helmet, by the way.
It is.
Stoney, loving the helmet again. Big game James strikes again. I'll take the ponies.
Yeah, this is a pinch your nose special. SMU's the 11 seed, so does this count as a top 10 opponent for James Franklin? Because he does well when he doesn't play the top 10 teams.
Right.
SMU has turnover issues. Penn State ran it well against Oregon. They carry that over at home in 30-degree weather. Pinch your nose, Penn State.
The eyes of Texas will be upon Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium. Number five, Texas, 11.5-point favorite, welcoming in the Clemson Tigers. Stoney.
I was never a big Texas fan as a kid. I hated the whole hook 'em horns thing. But as you guys know, there's something about Clemson's coach. I'm going to take Texas.
Well, I'm going to take Clemson because their tiger is also creepy, but I like the little paw print, so Clemson.
Heather, he is creepy. The eyes, they're bugging out.
He's creepy.
Let's go to John. All right, so I'm guessing that's a tiger, but it's the only big cat sound that we have in the system today. Look, Clemson, badass team in the ACC. Out of conference? Yeesh. Texas.
Yeah, while I don't fully trust Texas, Clemson 0-2 against the SEC this year with very little offensive production. Give me the Longhorns.
Yeah, this is a tough game to pick here. I'm going to go with Dabo because he's got national championship experience, and I almost refer back to last year. Texas should have won that game against Washington and played Michigan in a national championship game. And I know Sark's been a little wishy-washy in big games as well. I'm going to go with Clemson just because of the. I think it's a lot of points.
Final college football playoff game this weekend. Ohio State, 7.5-point favorites at home against the Tennessee Volunteers. Heather Park.
Okay, so you've got Smokey the Dog or you've got Brutus Buckeye.
Mm-hmm.
Of the two, Brutus Buckeye is creepier, so I'll go with Ohio State.
John Jansen, what you say you? You were 3-1 against Ohio State. John is going with the Buckeyes. What better way to pick a game than with purely distilled spite Vols?
Tennessee's got a run game. We know that can be the kryptonite for Ohio State. Steal Michigan's formula. They got a good D-line against a banged-up OSU offensive line. Give me Tennessee. Rocky Top.
Defense travels. I'm going with the Vols.
Right, I'm going to take Ohio State here. I'm going to trust Ryan Day to get this thing right for 1 week. I know I just said that, and you can use that in a replay next week. But I'm going to go with Ohio State.
What happened? Heather, we got to Heather already, so let's go to the NFL. Vikings, 3.5-point favorites as they go to the Pacific Northwest. Their turn. Vikings are 3.5-point favorites. They're taking on the Seahawks. I'm fighting very hard between what I want for the Lions and picking emotionally. Seahawks. Jim.
Seattle's off a bad loss, bounce back spot. Geno's healthy. K9's healthy. Vikings got to travel west on a slightly shorter week. Give me the 12th man.
Everything Jim said.
Stoney.
Ditto. Adding Zach Charbonnet in the mix. Seahawks.
I think you all know who I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick the Vikings.
John.
Oh, no.
Heather's the only one.
Okay.
Oh,
great.
No.
Great.
Your all people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Eagles travel to our nation's capital. They're 3.5-point favorites as they take on the Commanders, Jim.
I feel like the Eagles are a level above on the line of scrimmage. Commanders' run defense gets them in trouble. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, I think the Eagles will win this game, but I feel like it's going to be a field goal type game. Washington really, really needs this game to kind of just secure things up with the playoff because all of a sudden Atlanta potentially could get into the wild card race and they play next week. I think Washington keeps it close and they've had a history of playing Philly pretty close.
I love the home dogs, so give me the Commanders and the points.
And give me the Eagles.
John! Sounded a lot like the Falcon, but once again, only bird sound effect we got. I will take the Commanders. They're getting back to being that scary team. They hang with the Eagles, Manders. Finally, Lions travel to the Windy City. They are 6.5-point favorites playing the Chicago Bears. Gov.
Yeah, Bears are on a short week, too. They played Monday night at Minnesota. They look lifeless. You know, DJ Moore hinted at the he's looking forward to vacation in the offseason. And I think the Lions here are they're just going to really dig deep. I don't know if they're going to look all that great, but I expect something like 23-10.
I look for a backdoor cover by the Bears. I love home dogs, always have. So Gee, it's going to be the stereotype. Lions to win, Bears to cover.
How come you don't believe?
You know what? I think it's going to be a really close game. So I'm going to choose the Bears.
John, what do you got? Urgency will not be an issue. I can promise you that. That's what Dan Campbell said to us this week. He said something similar after the loss in Carolina in 2022. The next week, they clobbered the Bears. Mm-hmm. History repeats. Lions.
Lions are thinking moldy bread. DJ Moore's thinking vacation. They are not the same. Lions roar. Lions roll. And those are the picks. It's 97.1. This is a jam.
I posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
Darlene Love was always on Letterman doing singing a Christmas song every year.
Okay.
And so they put a compilation together of and it's really, really good. So
I'll go check it out.
Yes. Anyway.
You probably know this, but people might not realize that's a 13-year-old singing that, right?
Right here, this?
Yeah.
I know nothing of that.
I don't know.
Brenda Lee. It sounds like that's like a 60-year-old woman.
Yeah.
It's like a 13-year-old girl.
She was 13.
When she was 13 when she did this?
When she sang that.
Because Brenda Lee's famous.
Yes.
Yeah. I did not know that.
She recorded the song when she was only 13.
Well, look at that. Wow.
That does not sound like a 13-year-old.
No. Well, you learn something new every day.
I figured you would have known that.
Costa and Jansen with Heather.
You went to school with Brenda Lee, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, but I never met Brenda, but her sister Sarah, unbelievable.
Oh, who doesn't love Sarah Lee?
I know.
Happy Friday, everybody. We've been talking a lot of Lions this week, and I have a deal or no deal question that I wanted to propose.
You mean Howie Mandel?
Yes, exactly. I will play the role of Howie Mandel, although I want to weigh in on this too.
Did you see him and Arsenio Hall are touring together? They're coming, I think, MGM or something in March or someplace around here. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The more I learned something new today as well, Stoney.
Oh, good.
The deal or no deal that I'd like to present to Lions fans. The following scenario. Do you take this deal? You lose to the Bears.
Okay.
I know nobody wants to lose to the Bears.
Okay.
But I guarantee you beat both the Niners and more importantly, you beat the Vikings. What that means, you will not fall to the 5 seed. You could still get the 1 seed if Philly loses a game. Would you take that deal? Guaranteed division championship, but you leave the door open that you might not have the 1 seed by losing to Chicago. Deal or no deal?
Refresh my memory here. The Eagles and Lions win out, who gets?
The Lions. So you are potentially losing the 1 seed by taking this deal, but you secure the 2 and the division.
I know.
You avoid.
Philly plays Washington. They play Dallas. They play New York, the last 2 at home.
Yep.
The Lions, obviously, if they go to San Francisco, where they're good at cashing receipts, the Lions are. So, and they're banged up. And then Minnesota comes here with everything on the line.
Would you trade the Bears for that, basically?
I'm taking the deal. And here's why. I think if the Lions are able to at least, okay, I still think they can, they obviously have the chance of getting the 1 seed, but it guarantees me at least, 2 home games? Boom. I'll take that chance.
248-539-9797. You lose to the Bears, but I guarantee you wins against the Niners and the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Deal or no deal? Behind the glass. Do you guys have a preference, deal or no deal?
I typically don't take deals. Let's play.
Play the games. Tom?
I agree, because I think home field's essential, and I think they can win the next 3 games, and I trust them too, so I'm not going to take the deal. And I've said all along, I don't want to go to Philly in the NFC Championship game, and if I take the deal, it opens up that chance. I think that presents a huge problem for our offense, because Philly's defense is I think Philly's defense will play so much better in that matchup at home than they would here.
That's true. There's no doubt about it.
I think as they're currently constructed, Philly's the better team. Detroit needs the advantage of one, rest, and two, playing that game at Ford Field. I'd slam the suitcase shut. No deal.
Okay.
So Stoney's the only one taking the deal.
Yes.
And there's some risk averse stoniness there.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the wuss factor. I get it. Believe me. I understand it. But I still think there's a, you know, with all the injuries, there's a chance they would, you know, lose earlier, put it that way.
So are you
And I still think there's a chance they could still win out and Eagles could lose Sunday.
Sure, this is the Eagles' toughest game the rest of the way is this week.
Although the way Dallas has been playing.
You're right.
I don't know.
Doesn't change it. Going to Washington is much more difficult.
Yes.
Yeah. The picture is going to be, I mean, clearly we're going to know more after every single week, but I think specifically with Philly, this is it. If they don't get tripped up here, you have to run the table in my mind to get the one seed. So I'm not conceding a single game as we set this up because, listen, this team's been very good on the road this season. They're undefeated on the road this season.
Yes.
Having said all that, they're not the same team they were a week ago.
No.
248-539-9797.
And by the way, it does not make me a bad fan.
No.
And it does not make, I still will root for them every single game.
Well, that's what's getting lost in all of this, bad fan stuff. Yeah. You know, we brought it up yesterday. Sewell talked about it. We'll play that audio later in the show for people who missed it. But you're not a bad fan. Everybody wants this team to win.
Yes.
Texter says, no deal. Fate is in our hands. No brainer. I don't care how banged up we are. I'm chasing the one seed with everything I got. Don't concede a single game. Let's get to Will in Detroit. Will, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Will.
Good. I was just calling just to say, you know what? I'm 52 years old, so I'm not the oldest guy, but me and my wife was talking about it yesterday. And the fact is the world that we're living in is changing. It was a time where I think you looked at this kind of thing that Panay Sewell said, and you would feel just like you guys do. You know, you don't say that kind of thing, or you don't worry about that kind of thing. But the reality is, the world has changed. We got the internet now, you know, and the guys are younger. They use the internet. They look at the internet, and it's kind of refreshing to me because I feel like we, for the longest, held players to a different standard. I think that back in the day, there were actually some guys that felt like what Panay is saying now, but they would never say it. So the reality is the world is changing. So I really don't have a problem with him saying what he said. We live in different times. That's just what it is.
Okay.
I don't actually have an issue with him saying it because I think he believes it, and I always want to get as much honesty as we can get from guys. I feel like there's enough coach speak out there, enough, you know, just the generic nonsense that sports media press conferences and all this stuff. So if a guy's actually just going to tell you how he feels, I want more of that. And I think he believes it. I do think he's like, hey, if you're not with us, you're against us type of thing, which is what he should think. My issue is not with Panay Sewell. It's with fans that parrot that and act like they are Panay Sewell's teammate and they're putting the pads on with him this week. Fans going at other fans for not being good enough fans.
Correct.
Because if you're not a, quote, real one, which is a phrase Panay used, but we're going to fan check one another because you believe more you're a better fan. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're not willing to ever be critical of the team, you're a better fan? Because it's not far removed from that.
No. I mean, people are allowed to have opinions.
It's more interesting that way.
Yeah.
Why would you ever want to hear from someone who is just going to be 100% they will win every year, no matter what, every week, no matter what. There's no nuance. It's not interesting.
No, exactly. It's become boring.
Yeah, it kind of does. 248-539-9797. Deal or no deal? Some of the ticket texts coming in. No deal. I'm going to the game this week. They've lost the last three I went to. I need this win. Terrible luck. I also went to the Tampa Bay game this year. Bears and Seahawks last year. I may be cursed. I need a win.
Stay away! Stay away, unnamed texter.
Nate from a truck. What if the Lions win this week and against the Niners and the Vikings lose to Seattle or the Eagles lose to the Commanders? You would go into the Minnesota game already clinching the number one spot and you could actually potentially rest a guy or two.
That's part of my thinking.
Yeah, the Lions could get effectively two good weeks to kick their feet up and rest. Like, Frank Ragnow doesn't need to play at that point.
Correct.
You know, and there's you can't sit everybody. It's only a 53-man roster, but Frank and a couple of these veteran players who are on, I mean, the bye week was week five. Some of them are on fumes. And they're tough SOBs. They're going to keep playing. They're going to do what they have to do. Would love the luxury of resting these guys a week or even 2 weeks. Let's get to Mike in Washington Township. Mike, you're on 97.1.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you?
Good morning. Oh, doing well. Trying to drive safe this morning. To comment to your win out and you don't want to see the Eagles at Eagles in the NFC Championship game. I called like last week and I said that we don't have to win out, but I feel like we kind of do have to win out now, especially with home field advantage, even though we are kind of pricing out our own loyal fans and all these Baker fans are in the stadium, not cheering, not standing up. I've been a season ticket holder for a long time. People are not standing up at these games. Like, I see a lot of fans just sitting down, watching the game, not caring. We need to change that for these playoffs. It's going to be...
Hold on a second, Mike. First of all, I mean, the audio comes... we're at the top of the stadium in the press box, okay? It was freaking loud, the Buffalo game. Now, was it as loud as it was the first game of the season against the Rams? No. But yeah, I mean, no, it was still pretty damn loud.
Yeah, it's still pretty loud. But I haven't seen that meter really pass like 115, 118 in a long time. And that thing used to be up like 120, 122. Like, I don't know. I feel like we're kind of pricing out our loyal fans and all these guys from West Bloomfield and Auburn Hills are coming and not cheering and standing.
Well, there are plenty of big homes in Washington Township, by the way, where you live, I believe. So it's not all just the West Bloomfield people, all right?
I understand what
you're saying. I know, and I wasn't on last week when all that stuff went down. And yeah, there is a risk. We saw with the Pistons after they got good at the Palace became, you know, the place to be. But it's football. I think the people are going are still going to be loud.
My tickets alone from last year went from like 44 to now this year they're 66. Yeah, I have a good job and I can afford it, but some people, you know, can't.
I know.
And they just pay bails on us. And they spread bails.
Mike, appreciate the phone call.
Gotta get Mike to come out and see you and Rico in Washington, Michigan.
There you go.
Lions pregame show, Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's right.
Tom, you have a nickname for some of the... this is a working nickname for some of the new money fans.
Oh, how do I want to? You kind of put me on a spot here.
You don't have to debut it right now. You can keep workshopping it off the
air. Jack and Coke Jerry. It's the guy that has the mixed drink instead of the beer at the game. It's the guy that's got to bring his clients. You know, sales guy Jerry, that guy has made it slightly quieter. I actually agree with Mike from Washington. I have sensed the last two games on TV have been just a little bit not as loud and rabid as it was last year.
But those tickets prices are the same as they were earlier in the year, so it won't affect them till next year.
Basically. But you get 56,000 season ticket holders who bought in and were there week one, and I mean, maybe some of them sold because the deal was too good for the Bills game.
Right.
I mean, the good thing is that all these Lions fans now that are coming from West Bloomfield, they use their helicopters, and so it lessens the road traffic.
That's true. Absolutely.
Well, I'm happy that we've gotten to the bottom of this. If they don't win, it's because of Jerry, Jack, and Coke.
Yes.
Jack and Coke, Jerry. We're workshopping it. It's 97.1.